tells its fairy tale of paradise where roses grew. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it always will remain. My stardust melody,
the memory of love's refrain.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. I am calling to order the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting of February 19, 2025. If we could all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Cure, can you please conduct the roll call?
Yes, Chair. Chair Walton?
Here.
Vice Chair Furia?
Here.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Here.
Commissioner Philipposian?
Here.
Commissioner Williams?
Here.
And Commissioner Flores?
Here.
Okay. We have a quorum.
Thank you. And so now is the time for any member of the public to speak on an item not on the agenda. Ms. Cure, do we have any members of the public wishing to speak?
If there are any members online that would like to speak about an item not on the agenda, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you. Are there anyone in the public that wanted to speak about something not on the agenda?
All right, thank you so much. Ms. Plummer, are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
No, Chair Walton, there are no amendments or adjustments. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to lead us into the next item?
Thank you, Chair Walton. I'll actually go ahead and tee it over to our public records specialist, Blake Markham, with the City Clerk's Office to take on our first item.
Thank you, Ms. Plummer. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. I am Blake Markham, Public Records Specialist with the City Clerk's Office. The item here before you is our annual Chair and Vice Chair selection. I'll give you a very brief rundown on how the process works, just as a reminder. So what we'll be looking for is nominations for chairs after I open up the floor in just a moment. Any commissioner can nominate anyone else serving on the commission to serve as chair, and those motions don't require a second. We'll then see if we have any other nominations, and then Ms. Cure will lead us in a roll call vote. After that, we'll move on to the vice chair selection, which will follow the same process. Okay. And with that, without much further ado, I'd like to open it up. Are there any nominations for chair?
I'm happy to nominate myself.
Okay, we have a nomination for Commissioner Courtney Walton. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, we can move to a roll call vote for the nomination of chair.
Okay, Chair Walton.
Do I enter here on the pad?
It's not.
Can you both?
Okay, my pad still is blank.
It's not working.
We can just take a roll call vote if the pads are not currently working. We'll take a look
yes,
at that.
Yes, I vote yes.
Okay. Vice Chair Furia?
Yes.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Philipposian?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
And Commissioner Flores. Yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes. And with that, we will move on to the nominations for vice chair. Are there any nominations for vice chair?
We have our speakers on, but we're not being called.
Mine is blank.
Hers isn't working.
Oh, okay.
So, Chair Walton, if we can ask the commissioners just to kind of raise a little hand, if you'll call on them with a hand raise, since our technology is acting up this evening.
Yeah. No worries. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. Commissioner, go ahead.
I would like to nominate Stacy Fuhrer for vice chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have one nomination for Commissioner Stacy Faria for vice chair. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, we can now move on to a roll call vote.
Okay. Chair Walton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Faria?
Yes.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Philibozian?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
And Commissioner Flores? Motion passes.
Okay, congratulations to you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And then I guess we're ready for item A2.
Okay, thank you, Chair Walton and members of the commission. So tonight's an exciting night. We're here tonight to talk about the Stowe Grove Caretaker Cottage and have a discussion. We've talked to the commission a number of times about the cottage in the fall of last year. We actually talked about possibly repositioning and looking in alternate directions, which prompted lively conversations. And we went back and we did some additional work. At the time when we were talking in September, in order to stay on our construction timeline, we had to make some decisions. At this point, the decisions to make any significant changes has had to be removed from the phase one project, but we still have the opportunity if we wanted to make a decision as to whether or not to keep the caretaker cottage in its place and stand as it sits today, or if we wanted to make a recommendation to remove the structure, and then we can table further conversations for a later date as to whether or not we look at bringing it back in a different location or providing a different type of use and what that looks like. So I want to give you a little bit of history kind of about the caretaker cottage and so forth. As you know, and in your staff report, it states that the caretaker cottage was not original to Stowe Grove Park. That in January of 1965, when the property was deeded to the County of Santa Barbara, a copy of that deed is in your packet, one of the conditions was that the county construct a caretaker cottage. And we did find plans, some construction plans that do show 1965 that there was plans to construct a caretaker cottage. We don't know when it was actually built, but we do have another set of plans from 1967 that shows the caretaker cottage and the garage as built structures. So they were at some point built during that time. At that time, having a caretaker on a park property made sense, especially a park property that was managed by the County of Santa Barbara. They managed park locations throughout Santa Barbara County, spanning from Coyama to Carpinteria. That's over 129 miles. So it made sense from a staffing structure to have somebody reside at park locations. Therefore, they could be responsive to other smaller parks within the area without having to drive that 129 miles a few times a week. So that type of structure made sense, and the county actually still has a similar structure for a lot of its parks today. So it was a very common practice. In 2002, when the city incorporated, we are much smaller than that 129-mile capacity, and then in recent years, we have really revamped our parks maintenance system, where we actually have eyes on the park, either with our staff or our contracted staff, nearly 7 days a week. This park gets people there to where they're doing different types of maintenance each week or doing cleanings or patrolling. And it's always also a very common location for workers, whether they're city workers, county workers, other workers, to park and have their lunch. We see that quite often as well. So I wanted to share that when the city first took over, we did have a maintenance person in that in that house, and he was one of our parks maintenance individuals. That person left in 2016, and since they left, the city at that time went in and did an assessment of inside the facility. There were a lot of concerns of the lack of ADA compliance, the Americans with Disabilities Act, as well as, and that's inside and access into the facility. So right now, if you look at the facility, the front door and the side door both have stairs. That does not meet ADA accessibility. The doorways are narrow. The bathroom access is extremely narrow. So in order to make it applicable to current day standards for Americans with Disability Act, we would have to create a ramp situation in both, with having enough run for the ramp to have the right incline. In addition, the space inside would have to relocate numerous walls to open up and make it big enough to have the opportunity for a wheelchair to pass through there. So that was one of the issues. The other issue was the concern for asbestos and lead. We know that there is lead paint in the facility on the inside and the outside, and then the wood structures on the outside. So we were looking at different options for that, and you know, life was going and things were happening. So we have not put somebody else back in there. That's not our current staffing structure. It is not habitable at this very moment. So we wouldn't even consider putting staff in there. But the city's current staffing model just does not allow for us to consider a resident type of situation. So at this time, we've been looking at the structure, we've been looking at the master plan, and there's been a lot of options and uses proposed for that space. One of the biggest concerns was concerns with the family and whether or not the deed would allow us to not have a caretaker cottage on site. We have spoken to the family, as stated in the staff report, and they said that they understood our position and that they would support the removal of the house as long as we did it within a public process. And so instead of having a workshop, we chose a commission meeting for the reasons that people actually have more of an opportunity to participate. So a workshop is a point in time, day and time to participate. A public meeting like the commission meeting this evening allows people to email us in advance. It allows people to come in person, and we do have quite a few people here this evening, and it also allows people to call in. So giving more opportunity for people to participate was important for us, which is why we wanted to come here to you tonight. In addition, I wanted to share that information went out on all of our social medias. We saw it. There was a couple comments. One person said, you know, please refurbish it as long as I can live in it. And aside from that, there was really no other comments, just some sharings or some likes. And then it was on all of our social media, all on our website. It went out in the Gov delivery to everybody within the city beyond just, and it's talked specifically to us discussing the caretaker cottage. And we also had a volunteer take 50 copies of that Gov delivery and hand distribute it to individuals that reside around the park. So that is how we outreach to people that we thought would be most interested in this. So right now, again, we're not looking at making any changes to the type of use. That's not the discussion. The discussion is specifically the house right now to keep it, or to recommend keeping it in place as it sits today and moving forward, or removing it, or if there's an alternate direction. But right now, it would not be included in phase one unless we were to remove it. It would just stay as is in phase one, and then we would come back and talk about alternate uses if that's the wish of the commission and or the council as we take this forward. As well, if we were looking at a different use or anything else, it would take place at a later date. I did want to share with you as well that we did receive 3 pieces of written correspondence. The commission has received those. They've been posted to our website, and they're available here in the lobby. And on one of them that came in today, there was one person, I think, that had requested that we keep the cottage because of the housing crisis that we're experiencing right now. The other one had said that they understood the need to take it down. And then the third one was talking to the historic preservation of the site and the need to go back by our historic ordinance to the historic commission. So with that, I'll share with you what we've done to date so far. And there is a chance that we may have to stop at the Historic Preservation Commission before going to council. But what we would do is share this meeting with them before we went to the Historic Preservation. We would share that, I'm sorry, at the Historic Preservation Commission. And then we would take those recommendations forward to council. So when we went in to do the Stowe Grove Park Master Plan, we had, as part of the CEQA document, we had an historic evaluation of the site. So RINCON provided a historian that looked at the property and all the structures on the property to see if there was any historic relevance. And if there was, and they referred to state guidelines and federal guidelines. And all of the findings, because of how the park has shifted and changed over the last nearly 100 years, all the findings were that there was not enough historic relevance to create a historic designation at a state level or a federal level. The Historic Preservation Commission, when they first evolved into a historic preservation, it's a relatively new commission, they had identified a huge laundry list of places that they wanted to explore for a historic, local historic relevance. That list got dwindled down, and so they just kind of dwindled down the list without much investigation. The first list did have Stowe Grove Park on it, that 138 property list, and then when it dwindled down to where they really got deep into the woods and really took a deep dive into everything, that list was much shorter. I think it was under 50. I don't quote me on that number, but it was significantly less than the original list. So as of right now, on a local level, Stowe Grove Park does not, or any of its amenities, does not have a historical local interest designation. We did, when we did take the mitigated negative declaration and the Stowe Grove Park master plan for final adoption by council in December of 2023, we did share that with council within the staff report, and we did share with council should there be a request for us to consider a local interest of historic designation, that would be a separate staff work effort, and we would need direction to do that. That was not part of the recommendation, it just was in with the body of the staff report. So I just wanted to share with you kind of where we're at. Your staff report does show a fiscal breakdown of what the differences are. These have been provided to us by our design team. The refurbishing has been provided to us from our structural engineer. And that number is based on a takedown number to preserve the shell of the structure and to rebuild, because we would still have to move walls. The roof would have to come off and be reconstructed. The entries would have to come off and be reconstructed. So that's where why that you see that number is where it's at. It is a structural engineer estimate. It is not a professional cost estimator's estimate. So I will, in full transparency, share that. Replacing with a prefabricated or a pre-engineered structure, those numbers came from vendors that are working with our design team. So those are from the vendors that we would likely go to solicit those types of structures should we take that route. And then demolishing the existing structure came from our design team. So that's kind of where those numbers came from, so that you know that we didn't just pull them out of the air. And then I also wanted to share that in your staff report, I also shared pictures of the current conditions. The conditions were concerning when we lost our staff person that was living there because of the conditions I had shared earlier, the potential for asbestos, the lead, the known lead issues, and the ADA accessibility. Since that time, the condition of the facility has worsened due to some severe storm damage in 2023, and the city's doing its best to protect it in place to prevent any further damage from happening. And then we do have staff that frequent the facility to make sure that there's nobody squatting in the facility and making sure that the tarps stay intact and there's no broken windows and things like that. But that's where we're at. I do have some pictures, and if you're interested, I'll be happy to pull them up. Otherwise, if there's any questions, I am available.
Wonderful. Shall we start with the public? Ms. Kier, are there any members of the public who would like to speak to this item?
If there are any members online that would like to speak, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you shortly. Rob Windener? You will have 3 minutes.
I live on La Patera across from the entrance to the park, and I've lived there for 16 years. And so we've had a period of time where there's been a caretaker, and then there's a period of time where there isn't. And we can say that there is a drastic difference by not having a caretaker there. And as far as having a caretaker living on site, their presence, and being able to manage crowds, be able to manage activities, is a very nice asset, not only for the neighborhood, which I could speak for a lot of my neighbors that would agree that having missing a caretaker, since there's not been a caretaker, there's kind of like this open gate policy where the gates aren't open or closed during the day, and it's created opportunity for activities after hours and stuff, and the burden is placed on the neighborhood to call the police to make recommendations for changes. And so having that lack of a caretaker presence is kind of put the burden on the neighborhood, and it's actually kind of embarrassing to call and make some requests for assistance, which I think that shouldn't be my job to do, and there's probably better things for them to do. So we love the park. We love the activities that are present. We look forward to the new changes that are going on there. Whether or not the caretaker facility will be on the block or not is just something to consider. But from the point of view of neighbors who have really benefited from having someone there just as a presence to keep an eye on things, want you to take that into consideration. So thank you.
Okay, Mary, if you could please state your name and spell it for the record.
Mary Widener, W-I-D-I-N-E-R. So my husband Rob just spoke. I want to second, again, we do miss the caretaker role on the property, specifically on the weekends. I will say that I do appreciate having George there and that the city has expanded their presence and their support of that. As neighbors, we just feel the difference, though, when there's a lot of people at the park, and the park is at max use. And we're very much looking forward to the remodel and anticipate more people being at the park. So for us, the caretaker role was eyes and ears, being able to maintain the property. And again, to not have to call the police for something silly like amplified music. And what tends to happen is when you aren't paying attention to someone or property or maintaining consistent eyes and ears on it, people will sneak in. They'll spend the night, they'll want to run their business in the property, they'll want to be washing cars or doing something else during the day. And so there's alternative uses coming up for use at the park. And so for us, I appreciate that the city is available. I didn't know if they're available 7 days a week or specifically the weekends when the heaviest use of the park is, but that's really what we're looking for, is we're looking for some continuity. And lastly, I know it's not the role or being looked at now, but the closing of the gate is a big issue for neighbors. It'd be nice at some point when the park remodel rolls around if we could somehow work that into the curriculum, where we close the gate at night, we open it. It used to be 8 o'clock into sunset. That's nice to have. You know, and lastly, I understand the house and the disrepair of the house. It just is hard to consider when housing is so expensive in Goleta, the thought of removing any housing. So the rest of us, and I understand the city has different concerns and ADA concerns, but the rest of us have houses built in the 60s that we're having to maintain and do all those same things with as well. So again, it's expensive, the cost of maintaining or retaining something there. But relative to the housing prices, my vote would be to not take action on that and remove it now and give it some further consideration. Thank you.
Okay, Hank Goble.
Thank you. Hank Goebel, G-O-E-B-E-L. I'm a resident on Windsor Avenue. I have the corner house of Windsor and Cathedral Oaks. My property sits up next to the park. My dogs think the park is our backyard. So great report, by the way. You did really condensed a lot of things. I like the concept of prefab housing. I think that's a good alternative. Having a caregiver on property is critical. And I say that having lived there almost 25 years, I've had incidents calling the police, people shooting bottle rockets in the park, motorcycles, electric bikes tearing up the turf on the park, people after hours. My solution is I have a spotlight, it's about 10,000 lumen, and I light them up from my backyard. I go clear to the backstop. Tends to motivate them to not hang around. The homeless folks there, we have conversations. And fortunately, I have big puppies and tends to motivate people also. So, yes, we are caretakers and steward of the park as neighbors, and we feel very strongly this belongs to all of us. This park is a jewel of the community for Goleta. In terms of removing the facility, the structure, I think that's probably necessary, but I'd like to replace it with a prefab unit whose construction complements the park and not an asbestos or a concrete bunker type thing. Having a ranger on site is important. We have somebody to go to. 2 weeks ago, I had a group of people on the northeast corner of the park drive their vehicle van across the park to clean up their mess. They didn't clean up the mess, but the van was driven. We called the sheriffs. They came out and had a discussion. But that's three times in the last month this particular group has done that. So they haven't got the message. Need to have good enforcement. George here, I think, is doing a great job. He's always been receptive, takes our comments and acts on them. So we feel we're well represented. But as members in the neighborhood, we have ownership. We participated in the planting of the redwoods this last year. Problem with that is I had one evening, I had a group with about 20 kids inside the closed area using the stakes to hold the trees up as a combat type tools and, warfare. So parents had to make aware that it's enclosed for a reason. They removed the kids. But again, having somebody on site for situations like this prevents damage to the park. And that's our goal. It's a jewel. We want to see it maintained. We want to see it available to the public to use it appropriately. And that's kind of our goal. Thank you for your time. You give me a microphone, I can go for a long time. Thank you.
Okay, Bradley Pierman.
Hi, commissioners. My name is Bradley Pierman, P-I-R-M-A-N. I live at 619 Windsor Avenue. We've lived there for a little over, almost 6 years now. We have a fortunate position. We are a stone's throw from three of the reservation areas. So over the last year, we've had horses up against our back fence, leaning and pushing on our fence. We've had multiple parties that have gone past dark, both with live horn sections, drums, amplified music, which you guys know is not allowed in the park. We have multiple vehicles driving from the parking lot past the residence around by the play structure and then back up all the way to the backstop area to go get their bouncy houses or their banquet chairs or tables, whatever it may be. Having somebody on site would really lessen the burden on the residents in our neighborhood on calling the police, because while we try as much as we can to go over and talk to people who are having parties, they're not always receptive to us asking them if they can please stop playing horns or turn down the music for their quinceanera or their party or whatever it may be. We try really hard to take care of the park. I'm walking through the park with dogs at least twice a day. Having somebody in that residence, there are a lot of other parks in the area that they could also check on. So there's the open space that's down off of Stowe Canyon. There's one with tennis courts, and then there's one across the street from that. There's also the Lake Los Caneros, which is super close as well. So having somebody in that residence, they could actually make sure that things are kept up in the other parks in that area. We've had drunk teenagers in the park throwing things. 3 a.m. had people come out and stop in front of our house waiting for Ubers, screaming and whatnot, but they were partying in the park. I just would really like to see somebody over there taking care of it for us and making sure that the park stays in good repair and that our neighborhood stays safe. So thanks for your consideration on keeping a residence there.
Okay, and Ethan Whittle.
Hello, my name is Ethan Whittle. I live in Goleta, California. This is the park of Goleta. Like, I grew up here 50 years, born and raised, and I can tell you the memories and the feelings I have when we talk about the cottage, when we talk about Stowe Park in general. I grew up playing, doing BMX there when there was a BMX track. I've played on the playgrounds. I've done recreation there. I've played slosh ball with the keg out there. I've probably been somebody who made some of these people upset at one time in my life. But one of the things you used to have is you had a ranger. And you had a caretaker. And when we think of this, we think of history, number one, and a resource, number two. And this is a use or history kind of problem. And I'm going to say, when I was a child, that was a safe space. I had relationships with the rangers. So if it was night and it was trouble, as a kid growing up there, I had someplace to go. If there was going to be a fire, I was going to get bullied. There was somebody to look after me. If people were doing bad things and they were adults and they're in the parking lot, somebody told them to go. And you know what? When this deal was made with the deed restriction, think about what those people intended. Because when they said a caretaker's cottage, they didn't mean a structure. They meant a caretaker. They meant that. This was the park of Goleta, all right, when we grow up. So it's also a resource, the relationship with those gentlemen. So, you know, honor the deed restriction. Know the history. We as a city, we let this fall in disrepair. We looked at what it wasn't. If this was the Goleta Depot, would it be different? Like, history's important, all right? This is a kind of a common practice, and think of what you're thinking when you're thinking about the honoring the deed restriction to the people, is that we mismanaged the space, and then we let it get all screwed up. So we just scrapped it for a prefab piece, a new thing. And you know what, by the way, we haven't been putting somebody in there for a long time because we just didn't feel it was necessary. And what you're hearing from these people is you're hearing the neighborhood suffer. I know the neighbors. I talked to them 50 years growing up here. We all talk, okay? Think about what it could be for kids. It's a neighborhood resource. Think about what the ranger could do. We want to talk about somebody with boots on the ground who's going to make impact, who we're going to spend money on, and a resource we could have at a central park right next to the edge of Goleta and an orchard. Now, are we saying we're throwing away memories and history, or are we preserving history here and we putting back a community resource that benefits our children's safety, neighborhood, belonging? Thank you.
That's all.
And are there any members on the Zoom?
Okay, great. There are no hands raised.
Would any of the members of the commissioner care to start the discussion on, or make any comments?
Chair Walton, before you have commission deliberations, I wanted to share with you that even if we were able to keep the cottage as is right now during phase one, we still don't have a staffing model that provides us to put a staff person on site. We also are not a city that has a park ranger program at all, that currently we don't have staff that are driving around like you see in some other larger cities. So I just wanted to share that with the commission. And then if if we were to refurbish it at a later date and come back, then the type of use or whatever would obviously need to go through a larger process. We have noted the concerns that were raised here this evening. I can talk to the design team about the gate and see if there's something we can do on the gate system for what we do when we redo the parking lot. And then also, just as a reminder, that if you do see a renter that is continually breaking the law, if you would, and they're renting in the space, if you let us know, we do have their contact information and we can address them directly and talk to them. So we do have one neighbor that calls us on a regular basis, and she stays very informed and tells us good renters and renters that need some attention. So please do reach out to us. We'll be happy to help. We do, now that we have a full reservation system in place, it's online, we do have all of their data. So we'd be happy to address any problematic situations. So I just wanted to share that with you.
If you raise your finger, I'll know. Our system isn't working. Mine is not working, so. Oh, go ahead. Yes, go ahead, Commissioner.
And want to thank all the public for your testimony. Very thoughtful and appreciated. And also the public comments that we received. We've reviewed them carefully. I have several questions, which I may need to call on different people to respond to. The first one is a result of the public comment that we received from Ms. Murray. And she stated that she was a local historian and presently serves on the city's Historic Preservation Commission, but submitted these comments as an individual, not as a representative of the commission. And the first point she made was that the buildings, quote, the buildings are over 50 years old, and under the city's preservation ordinance, any plans for alteration or demolition of the structures must be reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission. And we as commissioners know that ordinances trump our ability to do anything, and that we must comply with ordinances. So a question of staff, is that a correct statement of the ordinance that, and just a simple yes or no on that one, I have no elaboration, but is a correct statement that there is a City of Goleta ordinance that says that any plans for alteration or demolition of the structures must be reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission?
From a quick review of the ordinance today, it does appear that that is the case, and we will be seeking direction from the staff liaison with that commission just to confirm that. Again, as stated in the beginning, if that is the case, we would be taking the recommendation one way or the other, just so that we can understand, to the Historic Preservation Commission.
Yes, and that would give the public another opportunity to speak to the Historic Preservation Commission. Do we know how often they meet?
I'm sorry, Commissioner Williams, I do not.
Okay. Does anyone else know? All right. So, do we know how often that commission meets? Is it like every month, every 6 months? You know, just a sense of the timing. Yes. Thank you, Commissioner Jenkins. All right, somewhat related to that, because there is a timing issue there. and that is with respect to phase one versus phase two. By what date would a decision on this need to be made to meet the phase one deadline?
Commissioner Williams, members of the commission, if we were to make a recommendation to remove the structure and that was carried forward, we would need to know by the beginning of the summer that that is the case so it can be included in the construction documents. We are planning to go out to bid late this summer for construction to begin in the fall. So we would need, like May is what I would say that we would really need to know if we're tearing it down. If we are gonna keep it as is for now, then it would just stay as it is. And I believe Mr. Valdez may have the answer to the Historic Preservation Commission.
Okay.
Okay. So just looking at the code, it's a set of criteria. It's not just the only one. So there's multiple, and it's pretty lengthy, and I don't want to try to pretend to be an expert on it, but it's not solely the one requirement of being 50 years in age, because if that's the case, my house is very historical too. So there has to be some other criteria that are met to make that determination. I'm trying to find the cadence or schedule of their meetings. I think they meet as needed because they don't necessarily have the same volume of work that the Planning Commission does or the Parks and Rec Commission. But if I find that, I will jump back up here.
Thank you. And so, yeah, working back from May, depending on when they meet and then City Council meets, it may just not be possible to check both boxes by May, just something for us to consider. And one thing, and I don't know, Mr. Valdez, whether this applies to city-owned structures, whether there's a special application of this for city-owned structures as opposed to any individual structures.
Yeah, I'm trying to familiarize myself with it, but it's a pretty lengthy ordinance. It does give a bunch of additional criteria for interim protection, and also the findings that need to be made for demolition findings. There's a lot more to it than I don't feel comfortable guiding you one way or another. Just saying that it's not as simple as saying it's 50 years. That was my purpose right now. I'll try to find as much as I can while we're here, but that's all I can say right now. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
Commissioner Williams, I can actually provide some detail on their meeting frequency. So according to the ordinance, the Historic Preservation Commission shall hold at least one regular meeting every other month subject to the agenda calendar. Okay. That is at least one regular meeting every other month subject to the agenda calendar.
What does subject to the agenda calendar mean? But if there's business, okay.
So to answer Commissioner Williams, subject to the agenda calendar would defer to the amount of business that needs to be held.
Okay. So they could have one within the next 2 months. All right. The next question I have with respect to the building, do we know whether any, I'm sure most commissioners have had the opportunity to go out and look at it. Let me say it looks better now than it did the last time I looked at it. The tarp on the roof was better secured, and we didn't see any broken windows. But has the building been tested for mold?
The building has not, to my knowledge, been tested for mold at this time. We did do a facility conditions assessment from a 30,000 viewpoint to see kind of what would we really have to dive deep into as far as studies of the facility. And asbestos was a concern. Lead was for sure. And then anything else would be a recommendation for a further study. So we kind of took at not just this structure, but other city structures, like This is what we're looking at right now. We know we have ADA deficiencies. We know we have these deficiencies and things like that. And then also what is known versus unknown and what is probable. So we did take a look at that. So no, there has not been that type of specific study. And then when this kind of discussion started to happen, we held off surveying the facility just if we weren't going to be making an adjustment to the facility, then it seemed that the funding could be used in other areas of the park that has other significant needs.
Just to add to Commissioner Williams' question about city-owned properties, good question. There's a whole section on it. 1733-100, the Historic Preservation Commission shall review projects affecting city-owned historic resources and make an advisory recommendation to City Council. Again, has to be defined as a historic resource, and that's the conundrum we're in right now. It sounded like we are not on the list for, it's not on the list for as a historic resource. At least that's what we got from the planning department. So trying to link the two is kind of, I think, where the comments stemmed from Ms. Murray in her letter, whether it's applicable or not. Currently at the moment, it is not designated as a historic resource. So, you know, trying to apply all these other things to it, I'm not sure that's in line with what the ordinance is intending to do. It's intending to focus on those items that are historic resources.
And just thank you, Mr. Valdez. Going back for a little more clarification on that, we heard that there was a large list that it was on, and then there was a smaller list that it was not on. Was the smaller list saying only these are historic resources, or was it saying these are our priorities?
Commissioner Williams, I don't have exact details to that. I can say that that smaller list was the list that the commission decided to move forward with to seek and evaluate for historical designation.
Okay.
For local historic right. designation.
Right.
So which becomes a local interest.
Right, right. It would be very useful to have the city attorney look at this issue, obviously, to help us on this.
I would add, Commissioner Williams, those items, including the staff report that went to City Council in December of 2023, was reviewed by the city attorney's office. So I think at that point we would have, you know, if there was direction from council to say, take this to the Historic Preservation Commission and move forward to make it a, I don't know what the term is, area of significance.
Right.
I mean, that was presented, that was stated in the staff report. We had city attorney review. It doesn't hurt to go back to the city attorney and double, triple check, but those staff reports are reviewed by council.
Right. If I recall correctly, and we don't have a copy, we've been through this just recently, of the final approved master plan. My recollection was in the final approved master plan, it had the caretaker's cottage in it. I know we may or may not have had the garage, but my best recollection, and we don't have this in front of us, was that the final master plan had the caretaker's cottage in it. Is that correct, Ms. Blummer?
Yes, the final master plan, again, is a conceptual plan. And as we dive deeper into the project, that's when we, if there are any adjustments or changes, we go to the public, which is what we are doing now, is going to the public to say, hey, as after we've done some further evaluation, looking at our current and future staffing models and what's been done historically with why there was a caretaker there before, where there's prior to cityhood and why the city really hasn't adopted that model moving forward, we decided that it was time to talk further. We kind of missed the opportunity of the window to make any big changes for phase one. Again, if we want to keep it there, we can keep it there. So tonight we have three choices. We can either make a recommendation to remove the structure as is, and if there's a desire to reconstruct something in its place, we can have that conversation at a later date. We can make a recommendation to keep it as is and table the conversation for a further date. And then, or we, if there's an alternate direction that you would like staff to pursue or like staff to carry forward to council. So tonight, those are the options. Unfortunately, our commission doesn't have the authority to say, well, we'll put a ranger in there, we'll start a ranger program or anything of that nature, which I know you probably would love to do right now, but we don't have that authority to do that. So tonight we're just talking about the structure that exists there, so that as we're moving forward with phase one construction that's anticipated to start this fall, do we want to keep it as it stands today, protected in place with the measures that we've continued to do and would continue until we get to phase two or three, which is based on available funding?
All right. I think this is my last question, and thank you all for your patience with these questions. Going to available funding with respect to phase two as opposed to phase one, right now there is funding in phase one for demolition.
Commissioner Williams, members of the commission, yes. According to our funding that we have set aside for phase one, we do have, and we've seen construction costs significantly rise as every day goes by. So even on erring on the side of caution, we have enough money right now to look at demolition. And so I put on the staff report the other costs so that you are aware of kind of what the costs are, whether we're refurbishing or replacing it, again, to be used at a future date. If our construction costs come in like amazing and we have extra money, maybe we can move to phase two sooner than we thought. But for phase one, I could guarantee, I'm not guaranteeing anything. I am very confident that we have enough funding to handle the demolition costs. But so beyond that, it goes up pretty high.
So the quick follow-up to that, if we or ultimately the council decided that we just don't have the right information, we didn't have the right process, et cetera, the right knowledge, to make a decision to do this in phase one, to do this by, make this decision by May, given public comment and everything else, if we didn't use the money in phase one for demolition, I would assume that money would still be usable for phase two.
Yes, Commissioner Williams. Okay. Any money that's currently budgeted, I would hold on to it with my life for phase two or three. So I would hide it from everybody. So I'm just kidding. It would be earmarked. It's currently earmarked for Stowe Grove Park. Yeah. So it would remain earmarked, and I would wrestle anyone trying to take it from us. But it is funds that need to be used for park purposes only. It can't be used for roads. It can't be used for the depot or anything like that. It is for parks.
Thank you.
Commissioner Jenkins?
As we talk about what our options are, the fiscal impact is something that looms large with me. And several factors come out, one of which is the cost to replace the existing building or to upgrade it. So those are two issues. The other is that we don't have a program, the city now, to actually hire and staff that facility. And I don't know what it would take in terms of the city council, even if we had the will to do it, what implications that has. Right now, just to demolish the facility is between $40,000 and $60,000. To refurbish it is between $650,000 to $750,000. To replace with prefabricated is $500,000 to $650,000. Replacing with pre-engineered structure, $650,000 to $800,000. We're just talking about the physical plant. That's a lot of cash. We're not even talking about a staff person or multiple staff people being there, what their roles would be, insurance, disability, hours worked, job descriptions, et cetera. So as we make a decision, I think the fiscal thing is really something that looms large with me. taken community comments, I understand fully the impact that irresponsible people who are disruptive to residents, I understand their concern. Even if a caretaker was there, that disruption would happen, and then there would be an intervention by a staff member as opposed to a police person. So it doesn't mitigate people not being responsible. So that's a piece. Another thing that looms large is we talked about the community gardens and gates electronically being locked and open, and to open them at one time and close them at another. That might be something else that we could talk about that could mitigate some of the concerns about driving in, parking, music, etc., that might be a possibility. But those are questions that I had that was just driven by the fiscal impact of moving forward to either refurbish or to demolish it. And then if we refurbish it, we talked about several different options, whether it would be a learning center, the educational piece, for people to schedule it for different events. So there might be different uses to that plant going in that may not address some of the concerns that the public raise. So those are concerns. I don't know who can address them or if now's the time to do it, but remembering historical conversations, that's something that we should consider going forward, is the Stove Grove Cottage may not be used as a caretaker facility. That's a possibility.
Any other comments?
Piggybacking a little bit on Commissioner Jenkins' comments, knowing that we don't actually have the funds to refurbish the cottage in phase one, which I believe, and you can correct me, is at least the next 2 years is phase one, approximately?
Vice Chair Furia, it is scheduled to start in September, and depending on the extent of the work, it could last up to a year. We'll try to get it done faster if we can, but we will, it could last up to a year. And then we are continually looking for money for phase two and three. There, as I mentioned, there could be some additional funds left over. It's just, we don't wanna overcommit the council on what we included in phase one, and then how we've carved out phase one as we move through the project. The things that need to be done are larger, so it has a greater impact for to be grouped with something else. So taking that next step from phase one into two and or three are big steps. So this is the infrastructure component, the maintenance area, the walkway, collection of water, the restructuring of the parking lot so we don't drain water to the brand new playground and that new playground. So that is all of phase one. And I've been taking notes, listening to the residents and looking at, and Mr. Thompson and I will talk about where can we recommend adding some additional fencing or gates to keep people from driving into the park. And as well, as I mentioned, to respond to Mr. Jenkins on the, I think Stowe Grove Park, personally, I think it would lose a lot if we put gates around it like we did at the community garden. It's not that kind of park, but we could look at some different types of fencing to reduce the potential of vehicular impact on there. It still is a great access way for residents to come from the neighborhood to the school, and we're even trying to figure out a way to keep that access way open during phase one construction so that we don't have to close the entire park. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, essentially what I was thinking about is even if we decide to renovate the cottage or to replace it, that won't happen for at least a year and a half, potentially 3 to 5 years based on the overall master plan. And so I'm wondering too, based on the state of disrepair of the cottage, I'm also a neighbor, not quite right on the park like our friends here who have come to talk to us today, but we use the park multiple times a week, so knowing the disrepair of that cottage. And as Commissioner Williams stated, the fact that it has actually seen vandalism and other factors, I wonder if having it there would actually cause more trouble in the meantime than good. So not that we wouldn't replace it at some point, because that's still on the table to add a prefab or a pre-engineered structure later to fulfill the needs of either a caretaker or a community cottage or community center sort of space. So that's not off the table yet. That's still potential for phase two and three, if I understand correctly. But in the meantime, since we don't have the money to replace it, it's already in a state of quite extreme disrepair. I would be worried that having that kind of broken windows theory in sociology is that once something's already a little bit run down, people are more likely to cause trouble for it, right? So we've had broken windows in the past, and we've had more. So I'd be worried for our neighbors that if we have that cottage in disrepair and that's not much to do with it, and with construction equipment and everything else going on, that it might actually encourage more teenagers who wanna come and drink, or people who have a little extra time on their hands and don't have all of the morals and values of the neighborhood in their best interests. So that's something I'm kind of considering, along with just the fiscal impact, right? Demolishing it and putting something new in, it would be less cost if we decide to keep something in there. And then also we've talked about also less environmental impact. So one of the other things that we've talked about at previous meetings is the ESHA requirements, and refurbishing the cottage actually has a higher environmental impact than doing a prefab, because most of that could be done offsite and then put a new structure put on site quite quickly, whereas any refurbishing that would happen would have to happen on site. And so we'd need additional environmental impact reports, we need additional environmental mitigation, plus increased noise and disruption for the neighbors in the meantime during that process. So those are some of the things I'm thinking, sorry, not really questions, just the things that I'm thinking about as we're evaluating it. I do appreciate the neighbors' concerns about caretaker, but since we are not actually making a decision about whether a caretaker's there, just the cottage, I'm trying to think of through, like, in terms of this building versus not this building. that's what I'm thinking about right now.
Thank you. Commissioner Philibosian, would you like to add something?
So it's clear that we make a decision on staffing's above our pay grade, so I don't think that's gonna happen tonight. So I kind of, you know, what Commissioner Furia said, that it looks like it, you know, realistically, looking at the options, having a structure on site seems preferable to not having a structure in the long run. But the current caretaker cottage, I don't think makes sense. I think the most likely scenario is we probably should, with the funding in place now, is recommend to demolish it now and then move forward with hopefully putting in some sort of prefabricated or something structure in the future. I think that just makes the most sense looking at the options there. I think we'd all like to have something in place there, but in the meantime, the funding is in place and we can move forward and, you know, advance down that path, because refurbishing what is there currently is gonna be expensive, take a long time, and it's just gonna get worse and worse as we move forward. And we may not have funding for the demolish point as we move forward. So that's where I'm feeling right now.
Commissioner Jenkins?
There was one more thing. If we keep the structure as it is, there's going to be erosion happening, either human-made or natural, and that's going to cost us, and it doesn't go anyplace. It's throwing money at a physical plant that has no use in terms of its intended use, and that's for a caretaker. So if there are no more ideas, I'd like to...
Before that, I do want to make a few comments, and then you can go ahead and make a recommendation, just a few. I just want to summarize this for myself and for everyone in the audience. Again, thank you so much for coming out during the dinner hour and after school homework time and being here with us. My concern is that the immediate neighbors have their needs met. And so having read the public comments that were made, my first concern was making sure that we followed up and made sure we were following the ordinances and historic preservation, whatever those rules are. And we can see from what we were shared with from, I forgot his official title.
Our assistant city manager?
Yes, our assistant city manager, that's something that can be going on along the side. And then the other thing is, as I listened to public comments, a lot of you were all saying, you know, not only do you want the building there, but you really want a ranger program there. And so what I learned tonight from Ms. Plummer, as she was answering and responding to your feedback, is that ranger program is something different than what we have the ability to make a decision on. That tonight we're only able to make a decision about this structure that is sitting there, and it is actually can be separate from the ranger program, because my thought is thinking you already have a great group of neighbors who are actively taking care and serving as rangers in the sense and doing that. I'm wondering, Ms. Plummer or any other staff members, where can this, you know, active group of community neighbors go to maybe pursue getting a ranger program? Because there's already a lot of energy and a lot of interest here, and I'm thinking can we give them direction on where that department would be? Because it doesn't seem like it's going to be Parks and Recreation.
Chair Walton, we're currently in our budget process right now. We've actually turned in funding recommendations to date, because we will be passing a new budget in July. So right now in the current recommendations, there is not a ranger program specified. So I would encourage that if there was somebody that really, really was thinking that this is the best use of city funds is to have a ranger program, then to send information in via email, or we'll note the commentary this evening and we'll carry that forward.
So should it come to Parks and Recreation, or should it go to some other department? I just wanted to make sure that they knew exactly where to send their information.
Information can come to either myself or Mr. Thompson. We talk on an almost daily basis. Okay. And so we can carry that forward. But again, the city council will be weighing decisions, and city administration will be weighing decisions of the best use of funds for the city in its entirety, is weighing that out, whether what the cost of a ranger program would be once you have not just the staff, but then the vehicle and everything else associated. And then again, a caretaker program is a separate program from a ranger program. And right now we currently do not have either. So sharing that information with either myself or Mr. Thompson, we can carry forward that the requests have come in, and then right now in the staffing models that have been recommended, that type of information, that type of infrastructure is not included in the current recommendations, but carrying that forward, and then we will share that information.
I appreciate that. I don't want anyone to go home feeling like they haven't been heard, but I do hope that you get some solace from that there is a direction you can go. But as for this evening, we have a vote before us about just the structure based on the criteria of how it fits with our budget, how it fits with our current programming, and your amazing idea is something that's out of scope at this time. Commissioner Jenkins, do you want to go ahead and make a motion for us?
Thank you.
I move that the Park and Recreation Commission recommend to the City Council to demolish the existing facility during phase one of our project. Of our renovation project.
Is there a second?
I will second the nomination.
Thank you. Ms. Curie, can you conduct a roll call?
Yes, Chair. Chair Walton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Furia?
Yes.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Philibozian?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
No.
And Commissioner Flores?
I'm not really sure at this time, but I think I'm leaning towards yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Well, that was robust. We're going to move on to the penultimate subject, our commissioner comments. This is an opportunity for commissioners to make a comment or share information, but staff cannot respond to the content on questions because the items are not on the agenda. At any time, a commissioner can feel free to speak.
Since it was off the scope of our last item, I would like to make a comment on behalf of our neighbors in support of finding additional measures to mitigate some of the concerns that they brought in today. I know, Ms. Plummer, you had already said that you've noted them, and I know that you all listen well and move forward, but I think since we can't offer them a ranger program or a caretaker program at this time, and probably not for a long time, I think I would love to see other options move forward. The gate potential closure for the parking lot seems like one of the best or sort of most straightforward options in the meantime. But also, I know you and your team are excellent at finding interim solutions. I know Mr. Thompson and his team are in the park a lot, so probably have some additional great ideas without doing a full offense. I run very early in the morning, so I'd be very sad if we couldn't get in at all. But I do think that there are other ways we can mitigate without a caretaker in the meantime. I will also be interested to hear from our neighbors as construction starts, if that makes things better or worse in the meantime. But I would love to see more opportunities to support their concerns, even if it's not in the exact way that they had asked this morning or this evening. I don't know what time of day it is, sorry.
Anyone else? Oh, Commissioner.
And I too would like to just follow up on our action item. I assume that staff will be connecting with the Historic Preservation Commission to follow up on their scheduling review, or at least the city attorney to see if that is required under the ordinance. I also hope that the city council, when they consider this item, obviously takes into account the public comment, which I know they do very seriously and very well, but you know, considers the whole question of whether the budget should have a caretaker in that location. And as other commissioners have said, it doesn't make sense to have a caretaker's cottage there if there will not be a caretaker. and I appreciate that. But my concern with this process is that I have no problem changing a master plan that the community spent a lot of time and we spent a lot of time working on if circumstances change. But no circumstances have changed from our recommendation in the master plan that the caretaker cottage be there. That's just it. No circumstances have changed. And so it was kind of like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done this. But I would really like the public to believe that, you know, we will pursue a master plan that we put a lot of money, time, effort, community input into. We'll pursue that, diligently, unless circumstances have changed. And one thing we didn't think about, I think, when deciding to keep the caretaker's cottage in was, one, right now the deed does not accommodate any other use for that, right? And two, would there really be money for the caretaker? I do hope that the city council will, look at the budget and consider community concerns and examine whether we should have money for a caretaker. If so, then the question arises, do we refurbish that building? That can be informed in part by the Historic Preservation Commission comments, or do we do a new prefab? But there are just some additional steps and questions, and that's why I just didn't feel that I was prepared to vote right now, given those additional concerns and taking into account the community's concerns and the original purpose, as was stated, that we all know that in the deed there was a caretaker cottage, and that was to address the community concerns about this park. So I know the City Council and the Historic Preservation Commission also have important questions to ask and answer, and I'm sure you'll be involved in those processes. And thank you for your engagement today. I do want to say that I use, like Commissioner Furia, I go to Stowe Grove Park at least once and maybe twice a week. I go visit the tree that I planted, my husband and I planted. We make sure it's looking good. And that is a precious park. And so it really is so important to our community. Its historical value, its beauty, its community value are something that we really want to protect. And that's why the master planning program and process was so important. And it just, again, concerns me if we deviate without circumstances being changed or other compelling reasons. So thank you very much.
Yes, go ahead.
First, I just want to thank you for all the public comments. This is by far the largest crowd that I've ever been a part of. So, I do love Stowe, too. I rode my bike through there yesterday. And I just look forward to having a discussion about the structure when we move forward and what we can potentially replace there. So that's very exciting.
Thank you. Our next Parks and Recreation Commission meeting will be on March 12, 2025 at 6 p.m. Our meeting is now adjourned. Thank you and have a good night.